Thanks, guys. Actually, before I speak today, I'd like to welcome Richard and Kay Dyer and down from Blenheim. I'd like to welcome you up the front. And they might be a bit embarrassed by that, but they're very capable of on the spot. So come on up the front, guys. The reason I want to do that is a bit more serious. One of our values here is honouring people, and I want to honour Richard and Kay. They've been mentors for a number of years, and they're down visiting from Blenheim. I gather seeing your mum, Kay, for Mother's Day. Wonderful. And I just thought I'd get you up here, put you on the spot, because you've done that to me before. I'd love to return the favour. You might remember E4 a few years ago. So I just wanted to for you to tell the people why you're my mentor. What qualifications you have for doing that? What have you learned over the years that you've been able to impart? Because we have really benefited from your wisdom over the years. If you want to give a quick précis of just a little bit about yourself so the guys know who is indirectly coming at them. And I mean that seriously with some of the wisdom you have. Yeah.
We're just old. I would say I've been in ministry for nearly 50 years. I think that would be about it. I belong to a society of evangelists in the Anglican Church, which may seem strange to you. I'm trans-denominational. That means I feel comfortable in most settings and not too worried about where I am, because I'm mainly concerned about the least, the last, and the lost, and how that we can grow as disciples of Christ. And as part of that, both Kay and I are apostolic, and we just love to be able to empower people for ministry. That was part of what we did as we led churches, and it's what we continue to do today. Does that sound like a...
Fantastic, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
cool.
Okay.
I don't think Richard said we're both actually Anglican ministers.
Oh yeah, we're them too.
Yeah, we don't live in that space though, because we're both retired now. But I guess, you know, my faith became enlivened in the 70s with the renewal movement that swept through the country. And I guess what I would like to say, if you haven't seen the film, The Jesus Revolution, have you been advertising that
yet? Yeah.
It's actually on at the moment. It is amazing. And I'll just say, go and see it, because there are so many things there in that film that we actually need to grab hold of for when God moves next, which sounds like it's not far away, because we're actually seeing that already. But it just talks about what it looks like when there's a move of God, when there's awakening. Because we're so used to thinking that people are not interested. But this film just looks at the desperation of the young people for the truth. And they're seeking the truth, but they said, we can't get in the churches, but we're seeking the truth. And so that's the message that ties in with what you had today. But I don't know how long it's going to be on, but I know it is on at the moment.
Excellent, excellent, yeah.
You can buy it, because we have, but it costs a lot of money. But who cares? It's good news.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm just going to pray for you both before you come. Hun, do you want to come up here? Kay's down for a mum who's not well, particularly, but I just want to honour you guys for taking the time out and coming. And, you know, when I would say others might have seen this as a day not to be in church and just made that decision, you guys have made that special effort, and that means a great deal. We want to honour you publicly. Yep, sorry, hun.
Yep. Can I just say, when Tony's used all his words up on me, I say, call Richard. So thank you, Richard and Kay. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this godly couple. Father, I thank you for the influence they've had in our lives and in Tony's in particular, and which in turn goes out into this church, Lord, in the way that you move. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that they don't see retirement as retirement, but Lord, there is always things to do in your service, as you call them. So we thank you, Lord, we bless them. We pray that you'd honour them. We pray that they'd have a lovely day with Kay's mum down here, and just some time of refreshing and restoring before they head back up north to whatever it is you're calling them into next. So thank you, Lord, for them, for their example, for their role model, but most of all, Lord, their heart for you, and to see, as Richard has said, the least and the last saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. You know, words are one thing, actions are another, or are both and. And my memory, Richard is also director with me for E4, the camp we run in Hamner. which I commend to you, runs every January. And Richard has a car that's far more valuable than anything I've got, but he puts it in God's service to the extent that I've seen sound gear packed to the gunnels in this car, pushing up against the headlining. If you've got a car that's got delicate headlining, that stuff that folds down, I'm sort of, oh, Richard said, no, it's got to be used. And regularly comes down from Blenheim with a car full of gear, sets up, and nothing's a problem. So, brother, huge advantage, a huge challenge to me and encouragement. Thank you so much for having you today. Today, in fact, speaking of today, we're going to look at, been wondering this week what to speak about. Now, I've never actually spoken about Mother's Day before. It's a secular root holiday necessarily, and while it's good to be reminded of, etc., I've never felt to speak about it. But this year, I felt differently for whatever reason. And through the week, I've been sort of conflicted, or not conflicted, but challenged with two passages which speak about, well, about mothers, but both mothers and something else as well, which I'll get to shortly. And the two passages, of course, are about mothers that we see, and also wives, as in Proverbs 31. But also key in the passage I want to focus on today is in Deuteronomy 5, in the Ten Commandments, which talks about honouring your mother and father. It's honour your father and mother. And today, as I've felt called to look at those particular passages, I wanted us to turn together. It's in Deuteronomy 5, which you may know that the Ten Commandments is also in Exodus 20. But as it's reviewed in Deuteronomy 5, not so much an enlargement given here, but the passage is in, or rather the verse in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. So if you've got your Bibles and want to have a look at that, and I'll read it out here. Honour your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father God, these are not the 10 suggestions, as been said. These are the 10 commandments, and these are things that we are commanded to do, to have a commandment within a commandment in the middle of the 10 commandments puts an awful lot of weight in it indeed. Father, sadly, we are in a culture that may not honour mothers as much as they should, certainly not as much as you have commanded. Father, we ask as we begin today, forgive us for this lack if we ourselves have not honoured our mothers and fathers, but particularly today focusing on mothers. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity that it brings. And if we can consider living, or if we can obey and be obedient to living under the authority of this commandment, Lord, we know there are blessings and honours that come from it. Thank you again for your word this morning. Amen. So, very simply, it's pretty straightforward. Honour your mother and father, for the Lord your God has commanded you. At some stage in future, I'd love to do a series on the Ten Commandments. There seems to be so many good things that we're looking at recently. And in the middle of the Ten Commandments, we see this commandment. It's number 4. And it seems to me that if we look at the Ten Commandments, we have the 4 commandments related to God, and then, the 5th commandment. And then we have the ones that relate to men, the other 5, right in the middle. God who gives us life, the first 4, the last 5, those who we live life with, and in the middle is the person who gave me, and I'm talking about each one of us here today, me life, my mother and my father. We are to honour them. And if we have a look here, it says that it's actually a commandment. So I said a commandment in the middle of a commandment, a very important thing to understand. A quick bit of background in case you were wondering about Mother's Day. There's been varying prompts for Mother's Day over the years, and those of you from the UK will be aware of Mothering Sunday. And Mothering Sunday, the background to that, I believe, or what I've read, is that it was talking about spiritual as well as physical birth. And it comes out of the passage on Isaiah 54 that says, sing for joy, you barren woman, for you'll have more children of those that are fruitful. And it's talking about spiritual children. And understanding that often we read at one layer and we see this is talking about our children, and we would consider it to be physical children, and absolutely that's the case when we talk about mothers. But it can also be those who mother spiritual children. And we'll see shortly when we talk about the word land that there's a number of meanings that we can understand from this and understand as we look at the passage. So Mothering Sunday has been big in the UK for a couple of hundred years, but it's sort of given way to Mother's Day. which I believe began around the early 1900s, when a woman particularly taken, as many of us are at many times, by our mothers and what they've done for us, decided to do a whole lot more. And so Mother's Day, I believe, started around 1907, and is this time, the second Sunday in May, around the world, generally speaking. And the reason I haven't looked at it before is I've thought, well, this is a secular holiday in its roots, necessarily, and it's hard to extrapolate a route back to either the Ten Commandments or even Proverbs 31. But it's a great day to focus on a commandment that we have been given, which is very direct and very clear, and I would add, very central. And so I want to look at three things today: how it is we honour our mothers and fathers, or what it is that we are to do. And it's a little bit like the verse I gave us as a verse for the year, Daniel 11:32b, that we spoke about at the start of the year. The people that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And you've probably heard me go through this a number of times. Our part is to know God, and then he will make us strong, and he will carry out great exploits, or we will carry that out with him because we do the bit that we have to do to know him. I've said to know him involves a deeper level, and I think that we've gone on a regular basis. This is Bible study rather than Bible prayer, getting into the word. It's two-way prayer rather than just waiting or praying and leaving it. It's active fellowship. The iron sharpens iron. And lastly, ministry in the Holy Spirit is a summary of how it is that we would know God. And today this verse is not dissimilar. Our job is to honour, and then the benefits of that come out of that. So God is saying, here's a commandment, but this is a commandment with promise. If we look at the other ones, there's sometimes a commandment with threat. For example, the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord your God will not hold him guiltless who takes God in vain. And Svetlana, thank you for your testimony about that. And I often think, what's a really good response to make when someone says, we heard it all the time, we regularly hear it where someone uses God's name in vain. And sometimes I found myself just drawing my breath in. And I said, what are you doing that for? I say, well, it's a pretty big warning. God won't hold you guiltless. Are you prepared to live with that? That's sometimes all I have to say, and just leave a question. So this is a commandment with challenge or conviction. But the commandment with promise we see here, the one we're going to have a look at today, honour your mother and father as God has commanded you. So it seems pretty important that we honour, that we do this thing to our father and mother. So what does this word honour actually mean? And the word honour is actually a word that comes from great weight or great solemnity. It can actually mean a dullness that comes from a great weight. Now, initially I'm looking at this thinking, how can honour be something that's dull and heavy? Initially, that's what it means. It also means to continually pound or continually come back to a particular position. And the reason it's dull and heavy is because it's something that is to be done regardless of whether we feel like it or not. The opposite of dull, I suppose, is bright. And if we're feeling bright and breezy, we might say, I'm feeling like honouring my mother and father today. I think they've done a great job, by and large. We'll excuse their various defects. I hope I don't have them when I'm one day mother and father, etc. But I'm feeling like honouring my mother and father. And that's something that I'm feeling as a light, bright thing. But the word honour means dull and heavy. It's a weight and a burden that we carry. We honour our mother and father whether we feel like it or not. We honour our mother and father in the good times and the bad times. What I want to speak to this morning is a bit of a cop-out I continually hear. Tony, you never knew my mother, or my father for that matter. If you knew them, you wouldn't be able to obey this. My mother was, and normally it's the father, I should say, not the mother, very really hear this about mothers, was a so-and-so, and I can't trust anything they ever said, and they let me down, etc. A friend of mine came to visit me this week, and we had this conversation because I mentioned I was speaking on that this week. And this is a friend who grew up in a gang background, was, I don't think sexually abused, but was pretty well handed around by various cousins and uncles and aunties when he was growing up. His father was a gang member, and his mother was a gang member's wife, and let your imagination go with all that was involved in that context. And I said to him, now his father, gloriously, 2 years ago came to faith, and the person he was baptized with was another gang member who had lost fingers, literally. It happens in New Zealand. You see those movies where people get their fingers cut off, you know, I don't know if you watch those, we probably shouldn't watch those sort of movies, but you know, your finger gets cut off because you didn't, you know, cough up, and I'm no narc, you know, and it actually happens. I kid you not. So this guy is baptizing with his gang member friend who's gloriously been saved, got no fingers. And I said, oh, what happened to his fingers? And he looks at me and says, haven't you watched the movies? I mean, this is the stuff, this is the background. And my friend said to me, oh, the really good thing that I've discovered is that when I think about my father and mother, and I was first challenged by that verse, it's great because it's got the exception in the footnotes. Did you know that? So there's an exception in the footnotes, and you look down the bottom and it says, well, there's no footnotes. There's no exception. And he said, if I was to say, I'm not going to honour my dad for what he did, and some pretty horrible things went on, where do we stop? If I'm said about the word, it stands and falls together. If we take one off the end, if we take this out of the middle of the Ten Commandments, it's not he just flicking one off the start, you know, I'm the Lord your God, you shall know the gods before me. We'll just soft pedal that one. And the one at the end, of course, coveting. Well, we probably do that a little bit, but maybe the ones in the middle are more important. This speaks to the heart. Speaks to the heart of what God is saying to us. I'm not going to obey that. I'm not going to carry along this dull, heavy weight of responsibility in honouring my mother and father because of what my mother and father did to me or someone else's mother and father did to them. God is too simplistic. If he's real, he's too simplistic saying this. What then happens? We decide we're not too big on the seventh day, or we're not too big on murder or adultery, and it all begins to unravel. So understand, please, if you can, with me, that this is a dull and heavy thing. It's not a light and bright thing to honour our mother and father. It doesn't mean that every time we honour them, it's going to feel like this huge burden, this huge weight. But it's just going to be part of our Christian life and witness that we will speak kindly of our mother and father. Even, can I say, if your mother and father abused you, even sexually. I feel I need to say that because many, many times the advice that's given to young pastors is don't speak on Mother's Day. Certainly don't speak on Father's Day anything about mothers and fathers. Because there might be someone in the congregation who's had a bad experience about mother and father, or have had an abortion or something like that, and they therefore they feel condemned. So let's ignore honouring everybody else because of that exception, which that person may well have got over and may well have moved on from. So I'll just say right out, I'm aware that there may be some of us who can relate to that. None of our fathers were perfect. And if we had, none of our mothers were perfect. They're often more perfect than the fathers. Have you noticed that? We have a wee bit of a joke in our house that I say to my kids, I said, I've got one bit of advice for you. And I'm going to embarrass, but deliberately, Sandra here said, get one like your mother. And I said, just do that. Everything else will work out. Just get one like your mother. Focus on that. And we were driving along, I was saying this for a few years, etc., on our way up to Nelson one day, and Luke, who's just getting a little older, this was some years ago, he said, you know, Dad, it's funny. You always say, get one like your mother, and I think you can see where this is going, but Mum's never said, get one like your father. Why is that? I'm still trying to work that out, but Luke has some growing up to do. I think eventually he'll get it. So understanding this, that we could make exceptions and not honour our mother and father because someone might be offended. I've heard this situation. So this honour here is a heavy and a weighty thing. Now, in the Beckenham word, we often say the word both and, etc. The reason I was a little bit conflicted about both of these passages is this one talks about mother and father. And the passage we're going to shortly look at, just to conclude in Proverbs 31, is talking about being a wife and a mother. They both have the common theme of being a mother. And if we just look and say, oh, that's not specifically about mothers, I'll ignore that, I think we would miss out on a lot. So yes, fathers also come in for this, but we're focusing on mothers today, so you can wait your turn. So honouring our father and mother is a commandment that we're given to do. I don't think there's any need to. It's pretty clear. It's something that the Lord, your God, has commanded you to do. So if we get the hard or the dull and heavy thing out of the way and we do our part, the wonderful thing is God then does his part. Because it's a commandment, it's a promise, a challenge as it were, but it's a promise that that your days may be long, and the Lord, and it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So, like the conversation I mentioned before, where someone said, I don't want to live forever. I'd like to do stuff you can't do in heaven. I don't think that's up for me, type of thing. There may be some of us who might think, well, do I want my days to be long? In the Bible, I think Solomon talks about the years in which the days have no pleasure. The context that's being looked at here is that your days may be long. When these commands were given, people were living slightly less time. Of course, there's we saw early in the Old Testament a court where people lived a lot longer. But days and life was hard. This is given during the time, of course, of not long after the Exodus, or this is repeated here, but the Exodus around about that time. And people were trudging around the desert in pretty hard times, and they were promised here in the review in Deuteronomy 5 that their days would be long. And understanding these are not days of drudgery or days of challenge. If you honour your mother and father, things just will tend to go better for you. That's a promise God has made. Now, I'd like to say to you that, you know, much research has shown that type of thing, and it would be hard to possibly, unless someone's done some research on that, what is the correlation between honouring your mother and father and your days being long and it going well with you? I think intuitively you know that's the case. But by and large, if we honour our mother and father, even if we may consider there's things they've not done that they should have done, then the commandment and the promise is given here that your days may be long. And the days that are referred to here are not days of burden, that we think we're just going to continue living longer and longer if we honour mother and father. These are good days. These are good days because we've honoured our mother and father and listened to them and taken their instruction and done what they've said, even if there's things we might have filtered out along the way, it tends to be better for our days. And the third thing here, and that it may be well with you in the land your God is giving you. Now, regardless of what we might think about length of days, I think we'd all say we'd like things to be well with us than not well with us. And it seems to be, once again, the connection is made between honouring a mother and father and the outcomes of our life in general. I don't know anyone that's really said, I think things are going too well, I'd like a chat. Well, I know sometimes people have said that. But we would generally want things to go well with us. A friend of mine, foolishly, I think he probably brought a curse on himself, because it wasn't that he cursed God, but he said, God, it's all a bit easy, etc. I want some challenges. I don't know who's even praying to God when he said that. There was a pride and arrogance in that. And a horrendous series of events happened. Things did not go well with him. I will spare you the details, but children involved in drugs and gangs, and sadly, at the end, a wife who took her life. And it started from arrogance, who said, I think I can take a challenge. Bring it on. Don't know who he said bring it on to, but it certainly got brought on. I met with my friend the other night, etc., and things are not well with him. Not well at all. And so there's a choice between things going well for us and things going not well with us. What's the cause of that? Honouring our mother and father. And the wonderful thing about the Word of God, if we trust this and treat it as authoritative, I don't need to give you a detailed explanation of the correlation or connection between that, but it will go well for us. How well will it go for us? Let's turn over to Proverbs 31. A little while ago, a friend of mine challenged me to read through the Proverbs, Steve and I actually, to read through the Proverbs every day of the month. Of course, there's 31 Proverbs. And when you get to the end of Proverbs, for example, you would then go back and do it again. I haven't managed to pick it up again next month, but finished it and read it during the month of April. And as I read through, the last one, of course, is Proverbs 31, which talks about the Proverbs 31 woman. And some of you will be well aware of Proverbs 31, but I want to pick up just a passage and read it out to you. And it talks about the Proverbs 31 woman, which isn't what we're talking about today. We're specifically talking about mothers. But there's two components. There's the wife aspect, but specifically the mother component. And I want to pick out, because there's a lot in this, etc. And so it does initially say wife, but it's the both and aspect. I've said, reading from verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And here's where the mother-wife thing sort of interacts. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. And she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is cloaked with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes him linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honour, remember the Ten Commandments, are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, and you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. And we see in the verse later, it talks about honour. So blessings and honour are to be given to our mother's children, and we all of us have a mother, whether alive or dead, that deserve our blessing and honour. Why would we do that? One, as we've seen, we're commanded to do that because it will go well with us and we'll live long in the land. But the children rise up and call her blessed out of the abundance of the provision the mother has had for them here in this particular passage. Now, Sandra's probably going to make me joke at this. I'm going to head her off at the pass. It does refer to, yes, for those of you looking, that mum makes food and makes clothing. And I know that might sound like a little bit sort of pointed. But nonetheless, often as a young child, food, clothing and shelter, the essentials of human life, are what we first identify coming through from our mothers. And mother has provided this here, and her children call her blessed, rise up and call her blessed. So I want to finish on that today. Maybe there's a rising up that we need to do to call our mothers blessed, whether it's reminding our brothers and sisters who, even if our mothers are no longer with us, and maybe someone we have to contact and say, wow, you know, think about what mum did. Thanks, Jesse. There's a challenge that I have in my family, and that in a way of reducing mum down to a similar level. My brother has started calling my mother Dawn. I know it's a bit of an Americanism and it doesn't mean there's lack of respect, but there has been that's come with that. I'm no judgment of those who do that. And my sister started doing that too. And I think this is the opposite of the honour that we're supposed to have. So mum had her failings and dad had his failings, therefore we'll call them by a name, so suddenly we're not honouring them anymore. They're sort of on the same level as us. I've noticed this creeping in more and more. And initially it's just a cool, trendy thing to do, but more and more I've found that actually it's bringing mum and dad to our level. They're just another one of the boys, as it were. And I remember, I'll just finish on this story, a funeral for a colleague in London. I'll be visiting the church in a few months' time. But the colleague had died in the saddle. Doesn't often happen, but he was the minister at the church where I had been some 40 years before and visited last time I was over there. And at his funeral, his daughters read out, I know we're talking about mothers today, but the same applies. And he actually had a little note, and he wanted to speak to the generations about this that he'd seen coming in. He said, I want you to call me Dad. And let's use Mother's Day today. I want you to call me Mum. He said, only four people in the world have the right to use that name. Don't abuse it. Don't belittle it by calling me mate or friend or actually my given name. And there's something about honouring mother and father that if we begin starting younger, and maybe we might say, I haven't really honoured my mother and father, but I'm in my 60s, begin today. Call your brothers and sisters if your mother's dead. Remind them of what your mother did. Remind them of the good things. Honour them, their memory. Children, rise up and call them blessed. And today, just in case you've forgotten to do that, we've got some little things we want to hand around. And these are little things if you're a mother or have a mother. How's that? So that's probably everyone. Will be everyone. And or you've forgotten to give your mum a Mother's Day present and you need to give her. There's a couple little things in here. And you can maybe go around and see her, a cup of tea and share a chocolate with her. These are just little tokens and gestures that, while they're really only a gesture, I want to encourage you, when you hold them in your hand, think about the comfort and what it is that mothers often bring us. And maybe today is a small chance and opportunity to return that. I'm sure I'm not having to remind anyone of this because everyone's already got a wonderful thing planned. But in case you've forgotten and you want to take these tokens, there may be something that you're being challenged. So today, honour your mother, that it may go well with you and you'll live long in the land your God is wanting to give you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for mothers, and we thank you that it was no accident that you intended for the duality and the complementary nature of mothers and fathers. We instinctively go to mothers for comfort, since we don't go to our fathers for things that we might, but there's a big difference between the way in which you've made mothers and fathers, and you've intended that, and that is not an accident. And Father, we would ask that in the mystery of how things work out, even though we intuitively know this is true, challenge us if we have not in fact honoured our mothers. We haven't come to that place where it's a regular, day in, day out, a dull and heavy responsibility. Forgive us, Lord, if we have not honoured our mother. Forgive us if we have spoken badly of our mother and we have dishonoured the opposite of honour, and even worse, we may have even cursed our mother. Lord, I've heard people that have cursed their mother. I wish she was whatever. Father, forgive us this sin. Thank you, Lord, for your word that speaks clearly to us. And we would pray that for all of us, we would enjoy the long days because we are obedient to your commandment to honour you. And also, Lord, things would go well with us. And we, like the children of the Proverbs 31 woman, would begin and continue to rise up and call her blessed. Amen.